Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Thank you for spending your lunch break with us, and welcome into Catching Up with Bob Lavelle. I'm your host, Joe Perrello of SweetSports.com. That's S-U-I-T-E, sports.com. I'm joined by the man himself, Mr. Bob Lavelle. And, Bob, we were just talking about a little bit before we went on about your blog this week, joining up with a former sort of rival, but a guy you've always obviously liked and had a lot of respect for, and Mike Lynch over at Channel 5. And you guys are doing the Sports Center 5OT show together now. If you kind of want to fill us in, just first of all, on how excited you are and kind of what the details are going to be on that going forward.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you gave me a chance to clear up any misconceptions. Actually, if the truth were known, which it's about to be, is that that was really just kind of a one-night stand, one-night deal. Richie and I said, let's try to do this once a month, and I said, absolutely. It's, whenever you... just give me a call. So I think it's going to be a fairly regular thing, but there's nothing etched in whatever to definitely say, well, this is the way it's going to be, here's the schedule. I think it's just going to be kind of a week-to-week situation. And the reason it worked out last week was because it was a bye week, and, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. Believe me, I've been in those situations, and if I can get a guest that'll fill the time, perfect. And that was me. That was a guest that filled the time. But I think Lynchy and I both were excited about doing it, and I think we both had a great time doing it. So it's his show at his station, and I expect that he'll call me at some time pretty soon.
Okay, well, that's great. And, if you need to fill some time, I can't think of a better way to do it for the Boston sports scene in the last couple decades than you and Lynch just kind of shooting the stuff about, I think what you guys talk about Ortiz and Brady and just kind of the bigger guys in the history of Boston sports. So very cool.
It's like the Coca-Cola truck driver and the Pepsi truck driver, and it's like the FedEx and UPS drivers. It's like they all do the same thing, but they're just different brands. And Mike and I, we knew we had the same jobs and we knew we had different brands, but it had nothing to do with us personally. We were, I'd say over the years we, developed a healthy respect for one another, and it was, I'm happy to say that that's continued, and I really did have a good time Sunday night.
Yeah, very cool. When was that picture taken, the one of you and him that we used in the blog?
That's fun. That's a good question. that was the cover of Massachusetts Golfer or something. I'm not sure exactly what the magazine was, but that was on the cover. It was Lynchy and myself and John Dennis, and whoever put the picture up. Well, I actually know who put the picture up, and it's not a relative, but somebody that I obviously know took out John Dennis in that picture. So
yeah, I can see that.
It just kind of worked out that he put that up after he saw the show Sunday night. And I was as shocked as anybody to see that picture. But then when he put that up, I remember, asking you, do you mind if I do this column and mentioning that show? Because I knew the picture would work really well.
Yeah.
And that's that. No, was it done? I don't know. It was a while ago. I suppose mid-80s. Let's say that was the mid-80s.
Okay. I could. It looks a little mid to late 80s-y, I guess. Just guessing from the picture.
Yeah,
I like your hat.
I think so. I got a lot of action on that column, blog, and that picture. Believe it or not, I have no idea what anybody's reaction is. I never would know what their reaction is any given week. I just can't tell what turns people on or off. But for some reason, we got a lot of hits on that and a lot of comments. So I just didn't expect any, and we got it. Sometimes I expect a lot, we get nothing. So who knows?
Yeah, you never know how it's going to go over, but you're right. You know, it's one of your most successful columns, and people really responded
to
you and Lynchy getting together.
Yeah, hard to believe. And in fact, I kind of struggled with it as I was doing it. I'm just trying to say, I got to put something in here that's going to be interesting to read about. And I just didn't really, honestly, it was just one of those things. It happens more often than not. When I think I'm really throwing in a clunker, it turns out pretty well. And then when I think I'm really putting in some real steak and sizzle, it's nothing. So who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm just not a good judge of these things.
Well, we're all in uncharted waters with that, Bob. We're trying to figure out, you know, what the
real wants and
everything.
That's very good. That's very true.
But, you know, people have really responded to, you know, your blogs that are kind of going back a little bit. I think people have definitely a certain nostalgia factor for you and for Lynchy. You know, he's still on the air and everything, but I think people still view him as a nostalgic figure. And you guys are both, you know, kind of the central figures of, you know, maybe not the golden age in terms of winning, but the golden age in terms of, you know, TV was increasing. Suddenly everyone could watch all the games, and these Boston teams just became legendary, even the ones like the Red Sox back in the day that couldn't quite break through. But it was kind of a golden era for interest in Boston sports, I feel like, and you guys were kind of at the forefront of that.
That's true. In fact, on a related subject, but not quite on the same subject, I got a call this morning from Dan Shaughnessy of the Globe. Because I was on with Mike Adams at EEI Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And Shaughnessy said he was listening to the show, and he heard me say that the two best things that I've ever covered were the first Super Bowl win by the Patriots in New Orleans and the last World Series. He took issue with the World Series. He said, you think this World Series was – you think it was more meaningful and better than 2004? And I said, yeah, I do, actually. And, you know, he doesn't. He thinks 2004 was better. So, I hate to disagree with Shaughnessy. He said, look, I'm writing a column on this. After I heard you say that, I said, I got to write this, comparing the two World Series. And I know that you're kind of the dissenter, so I have to, you know, try to balance it out. So, I don't know. I think he's writing it for this weekend, but, you know, I hate to go up against Shaughnessy in anything, you know, because I really like – that's probably one of the few times I've ever disagreed with him on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. And now I could come out looking like really stupid in this. But anyway, you know what? I'll see how it comes. I might have to blog about that next week.
You may, and it would be great. I'd be really excited to read what Shaughnessy writes and see if maybe you can give your rationale.
Get your opinion when it comes out. I'm going to take a hit. I can't win with Shaughnessy. I just gave him my rationale why 2013 I thought was better than 2004. But there you go.
That is a tough one because to a certain extent, I think the city needed it more in 2013. In 2004, it was just year that they could have broken the curse. But this year was a year that I feel like Boston really, you know, could use a magical run, and they got it.
Well, that's really kind of what I told them. I said, look, 2004 was more of a personal thing. People went to graveyards to see their dead relatives and bring them the news that the Red Sox had won, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said while it was extremely, you know, meaningful, it was much more one-on-one. I said this one had a broader brush. This one had a deeper meaning. It had to do with the marathon and healing and everything else. And I said, for that reason, that's why I thought 2013 was a bigger deal. So, you know, he got it. He understood it, but he didn't agree with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's fine. Dan Shaughnessy, you know, he's among people that know some stuff about the Red Sox. He's up there close to the top.
Yeah. That's right. That's why I hate to, you know, some people you just don't argue with, and Will McDonough was one of them, and Shaughnessy's another. But I really didn't argue with him. He nailed me because, you know, I said it on the air, and I actually – at least I had an answer for him. You know, it wasn't hum, I don't know. I think was a pretty good answer for him. So he seemed to be happy with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they're both pretty valid stances. I'll be interested because I want to read his column, and then if he does end up writing the column, and we can maybe get your views on Tuesday in your next blog. I wasn't living in Boston
today. Yeah, okay, he's going to write. I guarantee you, unless something really huge comes along, he's definitely going to write it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll get you. I'd love to get your retort Tuesday in the blog. I wasn't living in Boston in 2004, so I'd be a terrible person to kind of weigh in on this. But our fellow editor Jeremy grew up in Boston, obviously was around for the 2004 World Series, and of course still lives in the city. So I'd love to get your two views, and then another view from another Bostoner. We'll do a poll. We'll do something. Try to figure out just kind of what people in Boston are thinking about these two different championships. At the end of the day, I think two pretty similar teams, but I do think this year's team might have been, I mean, as amazing as it sounds that they turned around that quickly, this year's team probably a better team overall, but
it's hard to say. You know, you had Damon and Manny Ramirez and Bill Miller, and it's hard to say. But I won Cabrera at shortstop. But, let's see what he writes. And, you know, I told him at the end, I said, look, we're both right. I mean, there's no wrong in this. It's just a matter of opinion as to which one was more meaningful. And this last one was. Because I said, listen, I'm going with the steak and not the sizzle. I said 2004 was the sizzle. This is the steak, period. But
fair enough indeed. Fair enough indeed, Bob.
You'll have to buy the Sunday paper.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember the last time I bought a newspaper, but I may have to get it now.
You may have to at least walk around some park bench and see if you find one laying there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I live pretty close to Boston University's campus. They give them out for free in the condo. And
you can buy a free one somewhere. Right, clearly.
All right, Bob. I want to close on the Red Sox with some free agency stuff. Ellsbury's probably gone. It looks like Drew's going to be gone.
I know. I
think
really
they offered
Drew.
A Drew?
But, I kind of thought that. I should have factored the Boris thing in, and I didn't because I thought they were the Red Sox would have been well served by keeping Drew. There'd be some disagreement on that, but I thought he was one of the best clutch players they had all year long and a terrific defensive shortstop. Not flashy like Iglesias, just solid. But what? Boris is going to get him more money than the Red Sox are willing to pay. At least we know that you can move Bogarts over to short and Bradley to center field, who both are Boris clients too. So there you go.
Yeah. Seems like everybody is a Boris client these days. Everybody worth having.
You know what, Joe? I'd say this. If I were a player that had any skill, and I think if you were a player that had any skill, you'd be the guy we'd want representing us. I know it's painful for teams and fans of those teams, but I'm sure every fan who has cursed Scott Boris would hire him if they were in a similar situation.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The guy works hard for his clients. He plays hardball. He sends rumors out and does all kinds of things. He's great at his job. I'll certainly be the first to give him that.
He gets them their money, period. That's his job,
And he does it better than anybody right now.
If Ellsbury doesn't want to go someplace, like let's say it was San Diego wants to pay the most money, all Scott has to say is, look, it's my money too, This is going to get you the contract of a lifetime, and it's going to get me a pretty big payday as well. So go ahead and take this job. Boris, he's got a huge impact on these guys.
Yeah. No, he definitely does. You talked about Drew. Looks like the Red Sox probably won't bring him back. Ellsbury, I think, even during the season, was kind of a foregone conclusion that he wouldn't be coming back. They just offered Saul Salamaki. It looks like a two-year deal. Do you see them at least getting Selke back? And, is that somebody that they really need to bring back?
That's a good question. He was one I thought that would go. I think Napoli's going to be back. And I don't know about Selke. I don't know what they have in plan in the way of plans to replace him. If I was sure that Ruiz was one of the players in this, then I would say that Salty won't be back. But they're very, you know, disappointed in some of his right-handed production.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are times that why didn't he just do what Victorino did instead of being a switch hitter, just hit from the side of the plate that you're able to, you know, do so much more with, and that's what Victorino did. And Salty Lamaki is much better left-handed hitter than right. And although I do think they also had issues with his catching skills. As a matter of fact, he might have been pretty worn down at the end of the season. And if you take a look at the two games they lost in the World Series, both were punctuated by Salty Lamaki errors, one on catching and one on throwing.
Yeah. Yeah, he did look to be a little bit worn down. You mentioned Napoli. The kind of prevailing sentiment is that he wants to be back in Boston, so a lot of people are thinking he's going to end up back. Just, you know, he'd have to shave the beard, and that would just be terrible if he ended up somewhere else.
Right.
But I don't know if you saw the story with Brian Wilson, that the Yankees won't sign him because he refuses to shave his beard.
You know, that's their choice. I wonder if that's fact or fiction. I mean, it does make for a good story. It does make the Yankees look somewhat petty, but maybe, I don't know. I guess there are other clean-shaven closers out there that they can turn to. We have one.
Yeah. No. Clean-shaven closers. You know, it's hard enough to find good
clean
pitching,
shaven.
But when you got to find it without facial hair.
Right. It makes it a little tough, you know. All right. Does he shave or not? Not whether he can throw strikes or get people out. Does he have whiskers?
Yeah. It's terrible. And it was Brian Cashman who said that was the case. He said, true story, he will not shave his beard, so we will not be pursuing him.
I can't believe that. That is really stupid. That is really, I'm sorry, that's just over the top. That's called, I think, misplaced priorities, but that's their deal.
Yeah, I mean, some would say that policy is a bit outdated, but to each their own, you know. You can get the clean-shaven guys if you want.
I'm sure it's not Cashman's decision, so it's above his pay grade.
Yeah, which it's tough to be above his pay grade, but there are some things with the Yankees that only the
Steinbrenner, right?
Exactly. Bob,
maybe it was in George's will that he would give the Yankees to his uncles or whatever, as long as they didn't sign players that grew beards or whatever. Who knows what wackiness might be at play here.
George is a character. All right, Bob, I was actually going to ask you this off the air beforehand, but as you know, the Patriots playing Monday night, big, huge game against the suddenly surging Carolina Panthers who went to San Francisco and beat the Niners last week. So pretty huge game. Obviously not an AFC game, but it's still a really, really big game. I was wondering if you would get on the air Monday with my fellow editor Jeremy and I just talked the game up for like 5 minutes. You think you'd have some time?
Sure. Same time.
We could do noon. We could do noon if that's good for you.
Like,
but we can figure this out later.
Of course. Let's do that. Whatever time you want. If you want to do it later in the day, that's fine. Whatever you want.
All right. Well, we'll plus on noon, but I'll email you just to make sure it's okay. And so we won't touch the Patriots yet. We're going to save that. So you got to tune in.
Yeah. Okay. You decide when you want to do it. That'll be fine. Of course.
Most definitely. And we'll have a lot to talk about. Patriots, they had the bye week. Before that, they put more yards and more points on any Steelers defense than any other team in NFL history. Having that team healthy with Gronk and Amendola back in the lineup, suddenly they're looking pretty good. But we won't touch that quite yet.
No, okay, we won't talk about it. But they do have a couple of big ones here between Carolina and Denver.
Yes, it's going to be a huge, huge couple weeks for New England. They've got the record of a Super Bowl contender. We'll find out what they can do against some of the other top teams. Pittsburgh isn't exactly what it used to be. Bob, unless you have anything else to add on the Red Sox, or free agency, anything like that, or if, I don't know, if you want to talk Celtics. It's a little too early for me to be talking Celtics, to be honest. But
yeah, I'm not done.
Anything else?
I'll take a pass. I'll pass on that.
All right, fair enough. Glad we're on the same page, Bob. All right, Bob, always great to chat with you. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you again Monday.
All right, Joe, I appreciate it. Thanks again. Talk to you later. Have a great weekend.
You too, man. And thanks to everyone at home for watching, and or listening, I should say. And we'll catch you again Monday for a special edition of Catching Up with Bob LaBelle. Let's say noon. We'll call it noon, and we'll talk Patriots and Panthers, big Monday night game. Have a great weekend, everybody.